And a pet peeve of mine is when businesses obsess, everything has to fit in the box. And you as the customer, unless you do my exact process exactly the way that I want it, I don't want you as a customer.
Welcome to the Dan Bradbury Podcast. Dan, I'm glad to be here on your show. I think I've stepped into the role of punching bag co-host quite well.
Yeah, it's exactly as it should be, Tova. I'd expect nothing less.
All right. On the Dan Bradbury Podcast, we focus on one of six business areas that exist in every single company out there, whether it be sales or marketing or legal or business finance or operations and systems or people and culture. Today, we're talking all about sales, and it was inspired by one of your clients.
Yeah, it's been inspired by the legendary Arthur Iqbal. And for those eagle-eared listeners who listened to the recently republished episode with the legendary marketing legend Jay Abraham, Arthur was featured in that episode because her entrepreneurial journey is very interesting to her. When she started out, she was an employee, but she was the marketing and sales mastermind behind a specialist niche dating service. So they had a dating website for practicing Muslims, and she grew it into the largest dating website of its type in the world.
Wow.
And then she got the entrepreneurial bug and then decided to step out on her own and started her own endeavors, specializing in marketing, copywriting, that type of stuff, starting up her own shop. And she's done so well, progressed so quickly. She was actually in our recent Ultimate Entrepreneur competition. And she's a spectacular entrepreneur and well worth an she didn't win, but well worth an honorable mention for this strategy that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and I love the strategy too, because it's one of those things that's so painfully obvious that most people, I think, forget about it. And the strategy was all about getting out of this all or nothing mentality when trying to sell your customers and making sure that you have some level of, I guess we'd refer to it as a downsell nowadays, but some other type of a package that if they're not willing to fully commit to a big package, they could kind of do a almost not a try before you buy, but they could purchase a lesser commitment to test it out to see that has a lower risk. And I thought that was just so brilliant.
Right. I mean, in today's world, Tove, I mean, in the past, you could do a little bit more or nothing, but there are unlimited options these days in today's marketplace. So there's always somebody selling what you have or close to it that's willing to put the reputation on the line with some kind of trial option. So, you know, ultimately, if you really believe that your offer is so amazing, why wouldn't you have some kind of option? You know, if you're oversubscribed, etc., I get it. But really, you've got to wet the whistle because it's too easy for them to fucking go elsewhere.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm going to put your business acumen to the test now, Dan, because what I resonated to what her message was about that really well, because I'm in a service-based industry, right? So it's real easy for me to create my service package and then offer some sort of a smaller package for somebody who may not be ready to commit. But how would you convert this? If you're a product-based company, I mean, you kind of got your product. And I get it that maybe some things like a car, it's not like you can sell them half the car. But how could you do this with other types of products to where they would be able to come up with a different option that maybe is not the full meal deal, if you will, but it's something that's halfway in between?
Well, look, and again, I'm reminded of the Jay Abraham episode. You've got to think flexibly, and it'll probably come from outside your industry. So let's take the example that you gave me first. It's over about cars. Oh, you can't sell them half a car. Well, first of all, as a side note, that's not true. I've got a friend right now who's going to do a part purchase, part rent on a home. So partial ownership with the option to buy the rest of the house later. So there's car dealerships that will give you longer test drive periods. Right. Test drive for a weekend, longer periods, etc., because they know that they're going to upsell you. Or, for example, when you take your I've got a friend with an Aston Martin, and when I forget the model, so I won't aggravate the Aston Martin fans. But he took a relatively base model in for its annual service, and they gave him a model a couple of notches up. Right, for the rental while the car was in the shop. And of course, it's because they knew that he was the finance was coming to an end. So it was a chance to kind of to tease him in, to try him out on the more premium option. So I do think there's flexibility. But here's a pet peeve, Topher. We're recording this on Friday.
Of me?
Well, I can make it about you, but here's a pet peeve. You know, as a reformed system-obsessed guy, I used to think that everything had to be systemized. And I think there's tremendous value in systems, but you can take it too far. And a pet peeve of mine is when businesses obsess everything has to fit in the box. And you as the customer, like, unless you do my exact process exactly the way I want it, I don't want you as a customer. Frankly, it pisses me off because you kind of go, if you think so, for whenever you've had truly exceptional service, it's because somebody has really taken care of you as the customer. Now, that doesn't mean it wasn't inside of a system,
right?
But it didn't feel that way. It didn't feel like you were a piece of meat being moved along, you know, the assembly line, he says, mixing metaphors. So I think it's important to think strategically and get a little bit more creative at how can you create a downsell, right? So by all means, I'm in favor, depending on your business model and type, position for the offer. But I mean, let's take us as an example. Mm-hmm. So I believe that if you want a better business, you need to be a better business owner. And ultimately, nobody's born as a magnificent business owner. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes training. And you need to be a lifelong learner. So our annual programs are just that. It's a minimum of a 12-month commitment, right? But because it takes time to make strategic shifts, you know, you can get low-hanging fruit, but you want the strategic shifts. And that can take time, certainly to see the impact on the P&L, right? It can take a few months sometimes for it to come through. And sometimes people go, well, hold on. 60 grand or 24 grand or 14 grand, like that can be a significant investment if they don't know you, like you, or trust you.
Right. Yeah.
So how do we mitigate that? We let people try by coming to a meeting. Okay.
But they have to pay. It's a downside.
Yeah, they have to pay. I mean, I think sometimes trial becomes synonymous with free, and it doesn't have to be that way. It's how can you lower the risk? How can you lower the risk and give them a chance to feel more confident, a greater certainty of success? So, you know, people just go, no, I know my value. Okay, nobody's saying undermine your value. Position it appropriately. Go back and listen to the episode of Jay. He gives a lot of really good examples. But how can you tweak the offer to de-risk it without undermining yourself, but to de-risk it so people can come along and go, holy crap. Because my experience this service, Topher, is that people get happier after they bought. Some services, it's like it's smoke and mirrors, marketing. People get excited and then the delivery is underwhelming. Whereas with a lot of services, especially, Topher, so yours, mine, etc., a lot of people listening to this podcast right now, it's intangible. It's kind of harder to quantify. I don't know exactly what your ROI is going to be until I've dug inside your business and I've found the nuggets. And I see the opportunity and the number of times when it's like you have a call and it's like, so, yeah, there's some value. And then all of a sudden I hit on it. And that one thing, I remember it yesterday, well, there's one today actually as well, that one thing is worth tens of thousands of pounds to somebody over the next 12 months, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard sometimes to articulate that cleanly. So how do you get around that? Because you've got that promise. How do you de-risk it? And so whether it be a free trial, whether it be a paid trial, whether it be a partial sale, whether it be a money-back guarantee, there's a variety of options, but most businesses don't even consider it.
Yeah. And you know what? The interesting thing is when you start looking at it just from a numbers basis only, right? Let's just look at some general, I get this is not accurate with everyone, but some averages. You can usually sell 1 out of 10 people, right? So assuming you have a 10% close ratio, right? If all of a sudden, and you're using this all or nothing mentality and you sell 1 out of 10, what is a conservative estimate that if you had some sort of a downsell, some sort of a halfway point, a trial option, could you get, I don't know, out of that 9, could you get maybe 30% of them to agree to a smaller amount? Now let's look at that math. If you get 3 people out of the 9 to buy a partial product, all of a sudden you've got an additional sale. Your sales, essentially from a financial perspective, kind of went from being 10% to 20% like that.
Right. Well, there's a lot of data. I mean, there's 2 points here, Topher. There's a lot of data that backs this up. Right. You know, our friends over at Keep, and we'll back at the episodes with Scott Martineau or Clayton Mass, two of the co-founders of as was known Infusionsoft, now known as Keep.
Yes.
There's loads of market research that backs up. You can treble your sales with more consistent follow-up. Okay. Well, more consistent follow-up will increase, get more of those leads to buy. But if you actually get really granular, why does it get them to buy? Sometimes it's just reminding, but some of that is normally because the marketer, the company that's doing the marketing and the selling, will change or reposition the offer, offer better payment plans, offer slightly different terms, which appeals to people. And that's where, you know, downsells as a category falls inside of that. And the second point, Topher, which is overlooked, the first sale is normally the least profitable. It's the most expensive because you've had the marketing, you've had the lead gen and the customer acquisition cost. That's what destroys your marketing. That's why, you know, growth typically consumes cash because you've got to spend this money to get the leads and you've got to go through the sales cycle, the conversion process that takes time, right? Which costs you money and overhead as well as the marketing spend. If all of a sudden you go from getting 1 in 10 leads to buy to 3 in 10 leads buying, holy crap, those extra 2 sales, like there's more margin because you don't have additional marketing spend. So it's more profitable. So you kind of go, in fact, here's a fun story, Tova. First business I ever bought was a mail order business. It sold a distance learning program.
I was really hoping it was brides, but go ahead.
You know, I'm not even going to take the bait on that one. No, it wasn't. Distance learning, because I'm reputable. So distance learning programs. And what would happen is we would get leads on Google, early days of Google pay-per-click. They would be sent the brochure, and then we try and sell this home study program, diploma, qualification course. They would send in their exams that would get marks, etc. And it was approximately £1,000. But what would happen is, like a certain percentage, like 2% of people would buy, and 98% wouldn't. And so rather than going and spending and getting more leads as the market heated up, you'd go, no, let's market to the other 98. And then we put follow-up in and slightly different tweaked offers. And by the end of that business, Topher, it went from, hey, you request brochures, here you are, follow-up phone call, that's it, to being a dozen different steps, email, direct mail, like a lot of direct mail pieces, telephone calls, text messages. So there was all this different types of media and different offers, right? For partial sales, different sales, longer payment plans, longer payment terms, right? That ultimately gave people more angles with which to then go, okay, right, fine. You persuaded me, right? I'll take that part piece, or I'll prepay and get a discount, or I'll take the longer payment plan, or I'll take the bigger money, you know, the bigger money back guarantee,
right,
which enabled approximately, ironically, treble the number of customers to say yes. Funny how that works, right? Just with more diligent follow up. So the challenge here, Topher, to avoid people zoning out, okay?
Right.
I want the people listening here to find a way to create a partial package. In other words, how can you get additional sales from your unconverted leads using a strategy? So not just more follow-up, but how can you get more people to say yes? So can you splinter off a piece, or can you repackage somehow the offer to allow people to take that first step on the basis that, A, you're monetizing leads that would otherwise be lost. And for many of the listeners, Topher, after they buy that first step, they'll become, if the product or service is good, they're more likely to follow through.
Absolutely. Right? Yep.
So statistically, Topher, people that come to, because I want people in the annual programs. So why do we do the workshops at all? Because there's proof that they're in the annual program. It works. It compounds over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why I let people have a trial is because it's needed to get some people over the hump to make the decision. And actually, the likelihood of buying goes up significantly once they've had a taste. So overall, your net sales is much higher.
By the way, in the spirit of, I forget who said it, always be closing. Maybe it was the Wolf of Wall Street guy. I don't know. We'd probably be remiss if we didn't actually invite people that are listening or watching this podcast that if they would like to take a test drive and find out about your CEO mastermind. We have one coming up September 18th and 19th, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Yep. September 18th and 19th, which is a Monday and a Tuesday coming up, where they could come out and experience meeting together with some other fast-growing CEOs, fast-growing businesses with their CEOs. And we've got some really cool things coming up in this particular one. I'm really excited because you're going to be sharing with them a strategy on how to make their time more efficient, but not just more efficient, but also to accelerate their scalability. And one of my favorite examples of this is a gentleman that used this strategy who went from 2.1 million in revenue, almost no profit, and within 90 days of implementing this process, did more in profit in the 60 to 90 day window than he did 2 years in profit prior to that. And now the guy's company's continuing to do this. He's now got a $30 million company, all because he used this one principle that you're going to share. So check out, reach out to Gabriella at danbradbury.com, and she can get you set up for a trial run, or you can just jump all in and get into the program.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll put the link in the show notes. I think it's danbradbury.com/ME, which stands for Mastermind Experience. But let me say it a different way, Topher. Really, it's about how to fire yourself from the shit that you don't like, from the jobs that you don't like, because what that gentleman did was ultimately find a way to focus himself on the tasks that were vital for the company's growth, right? Rather than getting caught up in the job. Now, I'm not, Topher, one of these people that's like, oh, I'm going to be strategic, can't be operational, oh, you've got a job. Because I think that's...
It's unrealistic for small business owners. We have to stay in operations.
Well, it's overly simplistic, and it might sell a lot of books, but in the real world of business, I'm okay. If you look at Elon Musk, if you look at, you know, Warren Buffett, if you look at, you know, the people in the top 10 richest people in the world, 9 out of those 10 are still running companies, which means they're doing at least some operational jobs. Yes. And so the operational jobs doesn't mean that it's not high value, but that's the key. How do you keep the stuff that you love, that you're good at, that makes a difference, and fire yourself from the crap that drives you crazy? And most people have no way of doing they don't know how to do that, so they stay stuck. And that's what we're going to be talking about.
September 18th and 19th. All right, let's move on to the book of the week and go into a quote of the week and send these listeners and these viewers off to fulfill this challenge for the week.
Yeah, so this book of the week is an absolute classic. It's sold over 10 million copies. And I don't know, Topher, but insane. There's not a lot of business books. I don't know. Like, there can't be more than a couple of dozen.
Yeah, I was going to say no more than 100. Yeah.
Right.
More than 50, probably.
10 million copies. And this is written by a guy who in his 20s, if memory serves me correctly, grew a company to, I see the note here, over $100 million annual revenues, right?
And, selling envelopes, for crying out loud.
Selling envelopes, that's right. And so the gentleman's name is Harvey McKay, and the book is Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive. So really, it's a book about sales. It's a book about negotiation. It's an absolute classic. If you haven't read that book, Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive, pick up a copy.
Yeah. You know what? I got most out of that book. I mean, there are so many brilliant things in there. But the overarching message that I feel he really emphasized is the importance of really getting to know your prospect before they become a customer. And I still to this day, I remember it's called the McKay 66, which were 66 things that his salespeople had to know about their prospects before they closed them on their envelope accounts. And it was insane. It was everything from like their spouse's name to their birthdays, their anniversaries, what church they go to, what their kids' names are, what schools they go to. Like, I've never, ever been able to fulfill the McKay 66, but it sure got me like aware of realizing that I've got to dig deeper when I'm getting to know my clients better. Yeah.
It's powerful. I mean, Topher, transparently, I've tried this in the past. I think we typically track about somewhere between 20 and 30 data points. Yeah. And I would say we kick the ass of virtually any other business of our type in the data that we get, what we know, what we understand, and that makes our conversion rate epic. And it'll do the same for you listening right now. But yes, I don't know if he's stretching and setting a high bar just to kind of, most people won't go all the way, but I guess most people do nothing. If you've got more information, you can radically improve your closing percentage.
Indeed. And speaking of that, and the inspiration is, Harvey is also our quote of the week.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Sorry. I got off track there. So, yeah, the quote of the week this week is, you don't need a big close, which is what many sales reps believe. You risk losing your customer when you save all the good stuff for the end. Keep the customer actively involved throughout your presentation and watch your results improve. So,
well said, Mr. McKay. Well said. All right, my friend, let's wrap it up and let's get on to getting on with the challenge of the week in reality.
Okay, as always, if you want a better business, you need to be a better business owner. So get out there, figure out some downsells, some cross-sell options, and increase your closing rate.
Well said, my friend.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. Three things you need to do now. Number one, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, get on over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, 9.5 Steps to Improving Your Profits and Cash Flow. Also, join our Facebook group, the Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity community, to connect with other business owners.